experimentation.
Vision.
The next idea.
People mean very different things whenever they talk about innovation.
The problem of campus sexual assault is widely discussed in Michigan. But that spotlight has missed another group that's coping with some of the highest rates of sexual and domestic violence in the nation, Native Americans. Our newest contributors to The Next Idea are with the group Uniting Three Fires Against Violence. It's Michigan's Native American Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Coalition. Lori Jump is executive director, and Rachel Carr is policy specialist with Uniting Three Fires Against Violence. Lori, would you give us all a better understanding of some of the biggest challenges facing Native people in Michigan in this realm of domestic violence and sexual assault?
Sure. Well, as you know, the rates of domestic violence and sexual assault in Indian country are extreme. 64% of Native American women will be the victim of domestic violence. One in three will suffer a sexual assault. And it's all complicated by jurisdictional issues that are beyond their control as they seek justice.
In fact, I think most of us would be very, very surprised to learn that it's next to impossible for tribes to go after a non-Native who commits sexual assault or domestic violence. Why is that?
So the jurisdiction of Native American tribes has been impacted by Supreme Court cases that have, over the years, diminished their authority to prosecute persons that are not connected to the tribe. So if a non-Native person commits a crime in Indian country or on reservation property, tribes are very limited in being able to prosecute that person. In fact, the only way they can prosecute a non-Native at this point is if there is a charge of domestic violence and they can establish that this person has connections to the tribe. So they're the partner of a tribal member, they live on tribal land, they're employed by the tribe. And that is the only case where they can charge a non-Native person. So if a non-Native person comes on and assaults somebody that's not their partner, we do not have jurisdiction. If they commit the crime of theft, rape, child abuse, none of those cases can be prosecuted in tribal courts across this country.
I think most of us would be stunned to realize that. Rachel Carr, the fact that a non-Native perpetrator could be walking around town like, hey, no problem, can't get me.
Exactly. I mean, that's definitely the biggest issue I think our tribal courts and our tribal law enforcement and our advocates face when dealing with these victims is they often feel like, well, what's the point of calling the police? No one's going to do anything. Nothing's going to happen to this person. That's what we're facing when we speak to advocates and those that work with victims.
And speaking of that, as policy specialists with Uniting Three Fires, you're working with 12 different tribes. What does it take to coordinate with all 12?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, and each tribe is unique and different. Some tribes, you know, have been established for longer and have stronger responses, and some tribes are new, and so it's basically just by keeping contact with them, keeping informed of how they're responding and responding to them separately because they are unique.
So, Lori Jump, as executive director of Uniting Three Fires Against Violence, tell us, what does your work entail? How do you and your group address these issues of domestic violence and sexual assault within these 12 tribal communities?
So our mission is to support the local tribes in Michigan in promoting the social change necessary to address the rates of violence. And we do that by providing training, technical assistance, and resources to each individual tribe at their stage of development. So for somebody that, like the Sault Ste. Marie Chippewa tribe, who's been doing this work the longest, they have pretty much a well-oiled machine, and they have a good grip on what they're doing. Then we have the other tribes who have received federal recognition more recently, and they're pretty new at it. So for us, you know, working with those individual tribes and saying, okay, this is the level that they're at, and trying to direct resources to them at that level. Some of the newer tribes need basic training, not just for their service providers, but for their community. And, you know, what is domestic violence? What is sexual assault? And why is it a problem in our community? to working with tribes that are more advanced in the development of their courts and saying, well, you know what does your code look like, and you know, what changes might it need to allow you to implement recently passed laws like the Tribal Law and Order Act and the Violence Against Women Act of 2013 to better address crimes of violence in their community.
I'm interested in as you do your work with Uniting Three Fires Against Violence, what kinds of misconceptions that you encounter either from members of the tribes or from people outside of tribal communities? Rachel, I'll start with you.
I guess some misconceptions that we face, I guess, is a lot of people don't understand the jurisdictional problems. And, you know, you were saying that a lot of people don't understand that. Even tribal people sometimes don't understand that, because it is, you know, you would assume that anywhere when a crime occurs, that jurisdiction can take over, and that's just not the case in Indian country. So I would say that that's definitely one of the misconceptions, and it's amongst everyone.
I'm curious, within the tribe, are there old suspicions that die hard?
Sure. This is Laurie, and I can kind of answer that a little bit. I think that one of the problems that we have faced early on is that there is a severe distrust of the criminal justice system. So to think that there might be somebody in that system that's there to help you, such as an advocate, is kind of hard to believe. You know, the criminal justice system has not been, you know, it's not been kind to Native Americans. Native Americans are overrepresented in the systems at large, you know, certainly as perpetrators and most definitely as victims. And when you don't get the help that you need, as has been the case in many communities, you know, you become distrustful and unwilling to work with somebody. And so for victims to find that, you know, tribes now have advocates to help them through the system and to understand maybe when cases don't move forward or you know, understand who actually has jurisdiction, they're a little bit distrustful at first. And so overcoming that barrier is the first one.
What is the most rewarding aspect of the work that you're doing with Uniting Three Fires Against Violence? Rachel?
I think the most rewarding is connecting these advocates and other service providers together so that they can use each other and learn from each other and utilize each other as resources, and seeing them, you know, share success stories or share problems and stuff like that.
What about you, Lori?
Well, at the end of the day, the reason that we do the work we do is it comes down to justice for victims. And the work that we're doing is helping put better systems in place, increasing the response to these incidents of violence, and at the end of the day, providing access to justice for victims.
And you can learn more about Uniting Three Fires by going to their website, UnitingThreeFiresAgainstViolence.org. Lori Jump, Executive Director, and Rachel Carr, Policy Specialist with Uniting Three Fires Against Violence. Thanks to both of you for being with us on The Next Idea.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.